Hey everybody, this is Blake with XP Extras. This is a quick little episode that I am recording from my car. Yes, again, another car episode. This feed, just responding to the development of Lifeway closing all of its physical stores throughout the United States and sharing a little bit of story about when I worked at the Lifeway on Moody campus back in 2010, as well as in a second segment, just some off-the-cuff thoughts about what this might mean for publishing in this particular religion and popular religion publishing as it relates to evangelical publishing houses and the overall market for religious books. All right, let me know what you think. Reach out to me on Twitter at brchastain, or like and rate and review this on iTunes if you're into that. This remains a pretty experimental sort of feed for you to hear, but some of the ones that are good, I tend to elevate and put into the main XPjohn feed. So, let me know what you think. Let me know if you enjoy this sort of content. You can, again, message me on Twitter at brchastain. Talk to you later. Hey everyone, and welcome to XP Extras. It is March 20th, 2019. This is Blake Chastain. I am recording this on the go, and the news broke today that Lifeway stores would be closing all of its retail locations throughout the United States. That actually spurred a number of memories for me that I had when I was back in around 2010 or so. The year prior, with the recession, I had been laid off from my job and spent a few months unemployed, then followed up by some temporary work for the 2010 census. I actually had a person that was in my church that actually worked at the Lifeway bookstore that is located on Moody Bible's campus. They worked there, and I had just told people I was looking for work, and they let me know that there was a position open. So around this time, I was still attending a pretty conservative church. We had gone to an evangelical free church in Chicago, and then through friend connections had started going to just a local community church that met at the time in a storefront in Chicago. And that's where I knew this person from. And I applied for the job and I got it. It was actually the receiving job. So this was the job that was primarily in the back office of receiving books. And at the time, I was working on my master's thesis, which was about more progressive theology, essentially. My master's thesis was about environmental politics and evangelical politics and how they intersected in a movement called Creation Care. That is a movement that basically looks to different passages of the Bible that speak to ecological stewardship and trying to build a theological framework for caring for the earth. And at Moody, they were assigning books like Wayne Grudem's big old tome. I can't remember what it's called. It's like his thing that's supposedly orthodox theology. His systematic theology. That was being sold, as well as his book about government. And there was lots of climate change denial within those books. I worked there, and I was one of the older persons working there. There were a lot of people that were younger. There were a lot of student employees. And while I worked there, I was sort of going through my own sort of what we now call deconstruction. And it was not easy to be in a really conservative place. And one thing for me that has been an exception in some evangelical circles is that I've always been egalitarian. And that was always a shock to me when I went to more conservative places like Moody, where women were not fully affirmed, let alone people of queer sexualities or queer genders. But nonetheless, it was very difficult to sort of work in those spaces while trying to process that. But there were a couple of folks that I worked a lot with that I was able to talk with and to use an evangelical term to, you know, plant seeds a little bit and, you know, talk about why I believed what I believed in the back room in the sort of retail environment that a lot of people have. One of the things that was interesting and troubling was being on staff when Rob Bell's Love Wins was released and subsequently being ordered to remove any of his books and other materials from the shelves. So that was actually something that I had to do as the person that manages the inventory. We were given a list that was provided by headquarters and said, remove these. This guy doesn't believe in hell anymore, so we can't carry his books. And that's what we did. We had to. That was our jobs. And what you're seeing online right now is people talking about how really stringent Lifeway was with their product selection. And it's very true. I mean, they often would push the ESV, which is a complementarian translation of the Bible. They would push that over the RSV. They wouldn't even stock the NRSV. I think they begrudgingly stocked the NIV, to be honest. They really pushed John Piper's books and a lot of other, you know, straight white men's theology in lots of different ways. And it was really striking how much it was controlled. I had also worked in Christian bookstores before. I worked at a Christian bookstore in high school and college at a franchise called Limestone Books, which I think is pretty much done. It was a local regional Midwestern franchise. And so I worked in one of those places for a couple of years. And you saw similar things there, but they did have more freedom because it was a franchise, so they were able to make different decisions. What was evident by the late 2000s, early 2010s, was just how strong of a control, a centralized authoritarian sort of control that Lifeway headquarters had on the materials that were provided by their stores. And they were very, very selective. And that, of course, has an impact on these people's understanding of the world. And for it to be positioned as a Christian bookstore without any sort of qualifiers saying, you know, this is the Southern Baptist bookstore retail chain, without being really explicit about that, that is pretty deceptive. Since this was technically a university bookstore, there was actually a bit more of a theological selection than you would find at a regular Lifeway, but it was not very well made. It wasn't, you know, deeply stocked. I know that I saw things like Karl Barth there, and certainly Bonhoeffer. You know, Metaxas had just published his his version of the history of Bonhoeffer and his biography. And that was certainly being promoted pretty heavily, but you wouldn't find many theologians of color, men or women. And it was very, very striking to see how it was controlled. I was known on staff for just letting out these really heavy sighs while I was scanning books in, just because they were so sort of upsetting. That's what I did. I needed to make a paycheck. I hadn't been able to find another job, and I was making minimum wage, shelving books for Moody and Lifeway. And so with this development, I would think that, well, this may be a good thing for the country overall, but let's take a quick break before we get to that. And I'm having trouble unlocking my phone. So with the development of Lifeway closing all of their local stores, that makes me wonder really what the overall impact will be on the publishing industry that addresses these sorts of audiences. I am actually a little bit reticent to think that it will necessarily be a good thing, primarily because it will be harder to really identify what sections and what sort of things are becoming popular within fundamentalist groups and hardline evangelical groups. With something like a physical location, you can sort of, there are all these indicators of books that are selling, but if it's direct consumer, a lot of that can become invisible to everyone except for the marketplaces themselves. So to me, I'm already pretty concerned. Like, whenever I look at, for instance, the Kindle monthly deals section of Amazon.com, they always have a religion and spirituality section. Within that category, it is dominated by evangelical press, evangelical publishing houses, evangelical books. There is a smattering of other things. You will sometimes see, it varies from month to month, which books are really popular in that section. You'll often see a Rachel Held Evans book pop in there. You may find a book about Buddhism, a book about Islam. But for the large part, it's going to be these Bible studies, these books about the culture, and you can't see my air quotes that I just made, but these things about the culture that are concerning. And that is what is discounted and promoted within these places. And that is less visible than knowing what's happening at Lifeway and being able to see those records, or even to see this physical manifestation of these fundamentalist ideas. And what I'm worried about is that, well, the same sorts of things that we've seen throughout the world of extremism going digital and being more difficult to trace, being so hard for these groups, for even stores or platforms to handle. And that's not to say that everything that Lifeway sold was extremist, but I mean, as an outspoken critic of evangelicalism, there are some very hostile ideas, even within mainstream evangelicalism. So, with that in mind, I'm not exactly thrilled that they were going to go direct to consumer or whatever their plans may be. But I'm also, it's this weird sort of feeling of, well, this is a good development because there will be no one actively censoring progressive voices of faith. However, that avenue was never open to them to begin with. So I'm not sure whether that avenue being closed is a positive development or just a neutral one. Because now those works will be put directly into other platforms and other marketplaces. And now they'll have to compete side by side. And that is not as straightforward as a lot of progressives like to think. So I'm curious what will happen next. I'm curious if anything will really, how this will move the needle. I mean, though, again, even if you go to the Christian Living sections of, say, Barnes & Noble, those sections are generally marked separately from the religion and philosophy section. And a lot of times they're just made up of evangelical publishing house books. And, well, you know, that you're going to get a lot of sameness there. You're going to get a lot of same theology. There's not going to be a diversity of thought or a diversity of representation. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next. But those are mine.